What's up, everybody? This is Alex Kelly back here with another episode of the Furloughed Film Talks podcast with my brother Ryan.
What's up, everybody?
What the fuck was that?
What?
You have to be excited, Ryan.
I'm so excited.
You're so excited that we're going to have beepy beeps in the background?
No. There's not going to be alarms for the children in the background.
No alarms.
We're just going to handle the beepy beeps.
There will be pitter patters.
Yeah, lock that for you.
Why? What? Why do you need to lock your phone for Marina?
Because I work for a security company. She's just going to have unfettered access to my email.
It's not like she has your fucking, like, key fob that you can... Go get his key fob and really scare him. No, you have to be excited, Ryan, because what's today?
The first episode in 4 weeks?
No.
Oh, is there something else?
Yeah. I literally told you a couple days ago. Not figuratively. Literally.
No, I know.
Okay. You
it's
asshole.
It's Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah. It's, There's another name for May the 4th that also happens on May 5th.
You mean another?
There's another Star Wars themed like thing on May 5th.
Is there?
Yeah, there's like a whole.
Oh no, it's like there's a the Sith, right?
Yeah.
Anyways, sure. But it's our 2 year anniversary.
2 years, Ryan. Yeah. We made 2 years.
Yeah, you know.
Cool.
We're like a loving 2 year relationship now.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, I think so.
I think we've known each other for longer than 2 years.
We have.
Look in my eyes, love it. 30. Yeah. No. 28. Yeah. Let's.
28 years. Yeah. 5 months and no, 4 months.
We're obviously great at math on this show.
No, 5 months.
Yeah,
five months.
There
and,
we go.
And 10 days.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
What's been your favorite moment of the Furloughed Film Talks?
This is my favorite part of the Furloughed Film Talks podcast?
Yeah.
You know what? Honestly, I have to say.
Favorite moment.
Going to visit Ben and ripping ancient architecture out of the streets of New Orleans.
Yes.
That was by far my favorite.
Yes, being vandals and then having literally putting it into his car.
Yes, his Cutlass Supreme.
New Orleans PD don't prosecute our great.
Bro, you know the funniest thing about that? Like, two of you are literally helping. Or two of you are like carrying this like
heavy
piece of concrete into his car, and there's just a lady on her bike staring us down as we're being. I swear to God, I thought Ben was gonna get arrested that night.
I thought so too. So at like 11 o'clock at night in the middle of New Orleans.
Yeah, there's just some special law in New Orleans that you can't take street tiles.
I think that's a law everywhere, Ryan. I don't think you're just like.
I don't think Dallas gives a shit if you like take the street tiles that you know.
Yeah,
were made like last year.
Probably got bigger things to.
Yeah, if you
deal
take
with.
The street tiles from the 1700s in New Orleans, like people are gonna be a little mad.
They'll get a little pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But then again, you shouldn't be just leaving this shit like, you know, in the middle of the road.
True.
Maybe you take your ancient street tiles with you when you're doing construction.
Yeah, you should just not have them left for Dallasites. And New Orleans filmmakers to
if
take
we could
them.
Have. We would have taken that back on the plane.
Oh, absolutely. We didn't. Oh no. Yeah, we did fly.
We did fly. Yeah. And that was
I
even
totally
the,
forgot.
That was even a smaller one because there was a different.
Dude, yeah.
There was a different construction zone that we tried to take one from, but it was too heavy to move.
No, Ben literally goes to pick it up, and he's like, "That's too heavy."
Yeah.
He's like, "I can't
it's
carry that.
Break my chassis."
And like we literally like walk out of the last bar because it was closing because they closed at like 11 a.m.
You remember what kind of bar that was?
11 p.m. Yes, I do. Yeah. It was a burlesque bar.
It was a burlesque gay bar.
Yes. Yeah. That was a great with nobody in it.
Literally
completely empty.
Yeah, and they're like asking us to leave.
Yeah, we're up on like a second like floor, not second floor, but like elevated
little stadium
booth.
Seating.
Yeah.
Very intimate. Very intimate with Ben.
It's quite nice as somebody was like dancing and was she dancing? There was somebody like
there was no dancing.
In drag.
There was someone in drag, yeah. I guess it was like a waitress or something.
Yeah. And then we like walk outside and we're like, street sign.
Good times.
Let's take that. Fuck yeah. That's the favorite.
That
That's
was,
your favorite moment.
Yeah, how's it not? How's, what's your great. Favorite moment?
I would have said Dead Center, but then you reminded me of that, and I definitely am now saying that.
Dead Center definitely wasn't...
It was, I mean...
And it was like top 10, maybe.
Yeah.
Greatest moments.
The party was fun at the studio thing. I don't remember the name of the studio now.
With the one where you got like abandoned or like
No. I'm talking about the what used to be a convention center, and we went...
Oh,
that was kind of cool.
Yeah. In the recording studio.
Yeah.
Cool. Are they doing that again?
They're doing parties, but I don't think they're going to do it there because they're going to do it like more near the theater that they're using, which is a Harkins Theater.
Yeah. Okay. Second favorite has to be interviewing Kirk Acevedo as he.
Oh my god!
Pined on Donald Trump for 45 minutes.
I definitely told you that that was only supposed to be like a 15 to 20 minute
interview. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right? Yeah, no, we did send the 15 minutes. And then, like, he was like, listen here, boys.
Yeah, well, because
hey, your kids, stop.
It's still gone. What did you say that, like, set him off? Because you said beforehand, you said before the interview even started, you were like, yeah, I'm going to, like,
I've ask been, him. Yeah, because I was reading his Twitter, and, yeah, like, he was super reactionary,
yeah,
with everything Republican. And I don't remember what I said to him.
Well, it was summer of 2020, so it would have been probably something like...
I think it might have been, like, right after Trump had done the walk to the church.
And I, yeah, I said, just keep going, it keeps recording.
And I said something like, yeah, what do you think of
this?
Yeah, that really set him off. It was a good journalistic move.
Journalistic question. No, man, it's been a fun 2 years.
So Dead Center was your favorite part?
No, Dead Center was definitely not my favorite part.
What was your favorite part?
New Orleans, going, being able to, like, go to a different city and, like, meet somebody that we had
met, like, through the podcast.
Yeah, like, yeah, met, yeah, through the podcast and had that, like, experience. And
that was fun. What's your least favorite part?
This.
Literally this right now?
No. This is my favorite. This right here.
With is my favorite. Sitting down and talking to each
what's
other.
What's my least favorite part?
There are significant others.
Yeah.
As the viewing gallery.
My least favorite part is... Yeah, it's super weird.
It's not weird at all.
This is the most people who have ever watched us do it live. So, 100%. We've only ever had a dog.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
By one.
By one, yeah. But we're setting new records 2 years in.
Okay.
No, I think setting up Facebook posts? I don't know. I mean, that.
Okay.
Being stranded in the middle of Utah.
Oklahoma City?
Yeah, and Utah. No. That was 100% my least favorite part.
Yeah.
Being stranded with no money at 2 a.m. in Oklahoma City, not knowing how the fuck I was going to get home.
By the way, for fuck's sake, take your number.
Take my number.
That's how. Why would you do it? I don't understand.
That's how I'm stranded in Oklahoma City, dude. That's how.
Well, I found out the next morning when I woke up. Cause
I told you I thought I was gonna have to walk home.
Yeah.
It was gonna be an hour and a half, like, walk from where I
yeah,
was.
Yeah, from, like, the middle of downtown to, like, way off the highway somewhere.
Basically over by the airport.
It would have been fucking hilarious. You would have gone back at, like, 4:30.
Yeah, because I was like, I was basically timing it. I was like, okay, I'll get back. Because we were supposed to go meet up with Caleb.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll be able to get back in it with enough time
mm-hmm.
to, be like, meet with Caleb. So I was like, it'll be fine. Like,
with no sleep.
Yeah, with literally no sleep. I was like, another 20, 30 minutes if I don't get, like, a lift.
It was good times.
Yeah, so I'm finding out if we can get a discount for code for 21C, the hotel.
Oh, they're not going to give us a room?
No, I didn't. Maybe.
Okay.
If I broach that subject. Otherwise, we're staying in a home to suites or something. So.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yay. Well, I guess it would be nice not to, A, not have to move
mm-hmm.
in between hotels and not have to awkwardly wander through a museum
an
to
art
get to
gallery?
A hotel room.
That's one where the parties is at. I don't know if I can say this.
Uh-huh. No one's listening.
Cool. There's a party. There's a party that's going to happen. I think it's Friday night at 21C.
Uh-huh.
It's a PJ party.
That's fun.
And they're going to show Magic Mike.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So that's the event at 21C. If you're listening to this in Oklahoma City.
Can I wear a teddy?
Yes. She literally, dude, I'm talking to Crystal and she goes, oh, yeah, nobody wears PJs though. So, like, you're fine. And
it's just, like, all lingerie.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, jock straps and
more assless chaps.
That's fine.
I've done that before at a party.
What?
What?
Have you?
Not really. I just, like, had a tear in the back of my jeans. And so, like, I was like, I'm going to go as Tony Romo in assless chaps. So I ripped the ass out of the jeans.
So you went with assless jeans to a party.
Assless jeans and a blue Tony Romo jersey. And
what,
I was an assless chaps cowboy.
Did you wear underwear or did you just, like, let it fly?
I was they let it hang.
So you were dicking balls out just.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What party was this? I was about to be like, why wasn't I invited? I don't want to be invited to, like...
This is like a house party after, like...
So you walked around with your dick and balls out, just, like, hanging out.
Pretty much, yeah. It was after, like, a Grimaldi's. It was, like, after a Grimaldi's shift.
That makes it worse.
It was just a bunch of, like, waiters.
Yeah. What the fuck is happening
here? I don't know. It was super fucked up.
Sick.
One of my better Halloween costumes, telling the truth. I'm not sure anyone at the party actually appreciated it, but
probably not. I wonder why.
But I had fun.
Yeah. That's all that matters.
All right, we're going to talk about movies and TV shows? Or?
Yeah, here in a second. But everybody, check out our Facebook, our Twitter, and our Instagram. You can find them if you want. We'll have giveaways soon.
We're deeply sorry for the lack of content, but Alex will be out of school soon and not catching concussions.
Yeah, not catching fists. So, asking kids if they want to fuck around and find out.
Did you ask the kid that?
Yes.
What'd they answer?
They were shocked and appalled. And
they're like, yes, Mr. Kelly.
One of them was like, all right. And I was like, step outside.
Are you going to fight a student, dude? The fuck are you going to do?
Basically turn into Stephen Grant and just start mumbling British nonsense. And
all right. Pretty sure that's a... Yeah. I mean, like, these kids just get, like, you know, detention if they beat the shit out of you. Yeah. You go to jail.
Yeah, I go. Like, I get fired and go to jail.
It's an asymmetry to...
End up on Fox News and be like, you see what teachers are doing? So I'm not going to punch a small child.
Please don't. That'd be...
Yeah. They deserve it. But we'll have giveaways from Dead Center Film Festival next month.
Good pivot.
Yeah, thank you. So we'll be checking out for that, TBD, what those giveaways are going to be. But we
had some pretty cool shirts. Was it last year or the year before?
Year before. And you bought one last year.
Yeah, I think one last year.
With the film reel thing on it.
Actually, last year's was really cool.
Was it the film reel or was it just the outline of Oklahoma?
It was the outline of Oklahoma as a film reel.
Okay.
No, as an old-timey camera. On tripod.
No, so they have some really cool stuff. I basically just go get to pick what we give out, so I'm going to pick the lamest thing I can find.
Cool.
Or the coolest thing. I don't know yet. Ryan!
What's up?
We have a lot to catch up on,
mm-hmm.
Moon Knight-wise. We will also have, at the end of this episode, if you've made it through all the shenanigans of the last 10 to 15 minutes of whatever that was, we will have an interview. If you are a fan of Sons of Anarchy or Luke Cage... Or he was also in Army of the Dead. We have Theo Rossi. He is in a new movie called Beyond the Field. It's a miracle I remember that name. Super cool dude. Got to talk to him for about 10 minutes. He kind of dropped some hints that maybe Luke Cage might be coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So Furloughed Film Talks exclusive with Theo Rossi. 2 years in, we have our first exclusive.
Are you convincing yourself that this is an exclusive?
Or? Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
You do you, bro.
it kind of was. Did you watch the clip I posted?
I did not.
Wow. you son of a bitch. No, he basically slipped.
But he's a fucking actor. Like, he doesn't know. It's not like he gets to make the decision.
He doesn't get to make the decision, but so, like, in the conversation, spoilers for the conversation that you're going to hear later that was already posted on Twitter, he said that the season, so there's only two seasons of Luke Cage. The third season's scripts were already written, and he knew how his character's arc was going to finish.
Okay.
Like, basically get wrapped up. And then he started to say, he said, I just want my character, at later he's like, I want my characters to die. And then he started to say something along the lines of like, I can't wait to, and then stopped. So it was like, to me, it was the way he kind of said it was like, oh, like, I already know. And then he like had to stop himself from like continuing the thought. And he was like, oh shit, Kevin Feige is going to come fucking break my legs. So watch the clip and we'll talk about it later.
I bet you $32 that.
Why $32? That's so specific.
That's how much the tickets are for Doctor Strange.
All right.
But
that's okay. This isn't going to pay off for years.
Well, I'm putting a time limit on it. Okay, so I'll bet you $32 in the next 3 years, there's no direct continuation of any Netflix Marvel shows on Disney Plus.
On Disney Plus?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's already happened in No Way Home.
That's not true. Wait, No Way Home?
Charlie Cox, Daredevil.
Yeah, no. Okay,
so we're saying like, continuation or reboot?
Continuation. I'm saying that there won't be like a season 3 of Luke Cage.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Which necessarily, which pretty much necessarily means like this guy's not gonna have a
job on the.
Well, no. I mean, he might like get a job, but his arc's not gonna be complete because it's gonna be a complete like.
So are you saying
reboot of? But he's not gonna get a job. He's almost definitely not gonna.
They have to put out a whole season continuation, or it has to be announced.
No, it has to be like, we have to see it. It has to be like viewable on Disney Plus.
4 years and you have a deal.
4 years?
4 years.
We're not going to remember this in 4 months, bro.
Probably like, not. So sure. Like, yeah, all right, okay, cool. Great. still send me $32 for Doctor Strange. I'm not paying
you until four.
No, fucking you pay me now for the $32.
Pay me now for the fucking Rangers game.
Yeah, I probably should do that. What was I going to say?
Bitch.
Take it out of my account.
What account?
Anyways, we had the season finale, as the Twitter had to correct itself, of Moon Knight. Ryan, we haven't talked about Moon Knight in a while.
Yeah.
Because I got punched in the face and concussed.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have talked that day. You were talking a lot.
I don't think I could have, Ryan. I don't think... Was I talking intelligently?
I mean... Like,
shut the fuck up.
Relative to what?
Fuck you. We wrapped up the, I'm gonna call it first season, which, or maybe we should just call it limited season of Moon Knight.
Yeah, well, anyway you cut it, this was the first season.
Yeah, and we'll get to like how this could continue on, because I think if past, I like this term, if past is prologue with like how they've been doing Disney Plus shows, the, what's it called? Precedent that they've set is that most don't get second seasons. The only one that they've confirmed is Loki.
Yeah.
So, and like all the others are continuing in other...
Well, all the other ones, like they've... Well, at least for... Hawkeye, they made it like super clear, like this is one. This is like one season. And I think they did that with like... I mean...
When WandaVision, and that was... That her character is based, not spun off in, but like it was a one-off, and then it's going to, her story from that is going to progress in Multiverse of Madness. Cool.
Well, yeah. And hers is going to spin off, and Sam's is going to spin off. He's basically going to be...
Yeah. And that's what I think they should... We're getting way off topic. Not really, but like, I think that's what they should do with Moon Knight. Like, don't do a fucking, like, another show. Do a continuation of kind of like what they're doing with Falcon and Winter Soldier, where it's Captain America 4. Like, do a movie. Theatrical movie, because you have somebody like Oscar Isaac.
Honestly, though, they do need to, like, do multiple seasons with some of these shows. And I don't think it should have been Loki. Like, Loki's so disappointing. But I hope, hope that it's Moon Knight.
The first of many. All right, so let's recap what has happened, react to some of this.
Okay.
Let's not, fuck it, spoilers from now on.
Yeah, we can't really talk about it.
So recap kind of what kind of led up to this and where it kind of unfolded in the finale of Moon Knight. I'm going to speak in a British accent like Stephen Grant from the rest of this episode.
Oh, please, yeah. All right. Go ahead.
This is going to last for 30 seconds.
There's no way you can do it.
No, you keep recapping, and I'll...
You're going to, like, prepare your accent?
Yes, I'm going to get ready. I have to get in character.
Bro, I don't even know how to do this recap.
Let me DID into another...
Okay. My memory's not good to do a 5-episode recap. Okay, we'll do this.
Just do the last episode in this episode.
Okay, so... I'll try to do, like, a recap.
Basically, real fast. End of episode 4 to this one.
I got this. Okay.
Beginning of episode 3 to this one.
No, I'm just going to do the whole thing.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. Okay. We've got this insane man, Mark Spector.
How dare you ableist him.
He has a little bit of multiple personality disorder, a la Amber Heard.
Nowhere did he poop in a bed, Ryan.
He didn't poop in a bed, did not.
He did put sand in his bed. But.
You hear that Amber Heard has historic personality disorder.
What the fuck does that mean?
Don't know, but she's crazy, bro. Yeah.
Cool.
She's crazy. Bro, and as like the prosecutor, the Johnny Depp attorney is like asking her about this and like...
Wait, is she on the stand now?
Yeah, she was.
Oh, fuck.
Well, she was on the stand and the lawyer's like asking and explaining this. This is literally her.
This bitch.
Right. Anyways, okay. We got this madman who has multiple personality disorders.
Dissociative identity disorder.
Whatever. He sometimes is Mark Spector, a mercenary. Sometimes he's Stephen Grant, this British guy who works in a museum.
Oi, mate.
Oi. And then,
I think that's Australian.
That's Aussie. Yeah. And then we have Harrow. Harrow. Doc, what's his full name?
Arthur Harrow.
Arthur Harrow, who wants to bring about the release of the goddess Ammit, who is a sexy crocodile. Come on. They tried to make that crocodile.
She looked
sexy,
like Rayquaza when she was coming out of the Pokeball.
A little bit. Yeah. I definitely got those vibes. I also got like Ghostbuster vibes.
A little bit. Yeah.
The smoke.
Yeah.
And so basically the main like kind of friction here is between Ammit and her avatar Harrow, and then Khonshu, who is the night god, and
who's trying to slide right into the DMs of Layla. He wants her so bad as his avatar.
Well, I mean,
simping so hard.
We'll get to Layla because I've got I've got thoughts about Layla.
I'm so scared.
Okay.
This is going to be way longer than what you wanted it to be.
No, it's good thoughts. Good thoughts. Yeah, we might have to take a pause, eat our chili, and come back. So chili's win for no man. where were we? Okay, so Khonshu has Mark Spector. Mark Spector and Stephen Grant are the avatars of Khonshu. There's a lot of bang, bang, shoot, shoot. Everyone like goes after each other. Eventually, they get to the point where we like very much phase shift, and we kind of, it's kind of in the fifth episode, it seems like, oh no, this is all in like
Mark's head. Mark gets shot in the chest.
Takes
two to the chest.
Yeah, is dead.
As POD would say.
And now we don't know if like it's all in his head and he's in a mental institute, or he's actually in the Egyptian underworld traveling to either the paradise or hell.
Yeah.
And then we get to the final episode where Ammit is eventually released from her captivity of 2,000 years. Khonshu in episode 4 had been trapped in the same kind of Ephesus where...
Ushabti.
Yeah, he's trapped in a little statue of himself. And that means that Mark loses his Moon Knight superpowers.
Which is how he gets two to the chest.
Yep. And then we get to episode 6. Why don't you want
me to recap
this? Yeah, you do it from here.
All right, mate. We got the... That's still Australian.
Why'd you call me Mark?
Why'd you call me Mark? Well, first, they go to the... I still can't do it. I'm not Oscar Isaac.
Oscar Isaac, you are not.
I am not. No, yeah. I do not have. So
what's his wife's name?
Elvira Lynn.
Elvira.
Looked like they had a great time at the Met Gala the other night.
Oh, was he there?
She rocked a full suit. He rocked a skirt. It was great.
Get the fuck out of here.
Look it up. So, this episode.
That's what ruined my night, dude.
It doesn't fucking ruin your night. Shut the fuck up. Harrow has like the statue. He's got the Ushabti. So they go to the Pyramid of Giza, where all the other gods' avatars are. He fucks on them, messes them up, and then releases Ammit, and they're like, let's go fuck up Cairo. Like, let's go do this. And meanwhile, Layla, who had been following them, releases Khonshu. And this is also when, throughout this kind of first part of this episode, Layla has been, you know, kind of been getting messages from Tararet, from dead people, people who are about to die, who have already gotten their souls sucked, and they're like literally hanging on to life. And she's like, hey, I'm a hippo. And then she's like, all right, like I should be an avatar, and becomes Tararet's, you know, avatar, kind of temporary. But basically she becomes the Scarlet Scarab, which is a character from the comics.
I love the first story I find about Oscar Isaac at the Met Gala is from the... NewDelhiTV.com.
Oh, dude, yeah, they do some interesting... But you saw what I meant.
Yeah, he had a dress on.
Anyways, let's talk about that. So we got Layla becoming a superhero. She is the first Egyptian superhero in the MCU.
I was really paying attention. How far down the synopsis did you get?
I got about midway. I got to the point. I got to the point where she becomes the Scarlet Scarab.
Oh, okay. So that's her name, Scarlet Scarab?
Scarlet Scarab.
Okay, so Layla.
Yes.
Is Layla and the Scarlet Scarab the best female superhero in the Marvel Universe now?
Oh, fuck. You are putting me on the spot. I'm going to just name these off so that I
can actually stop talking. When I asked the question, like, immediately, I thought I knew the answer, but I just changed my mind. So,
who did you just remember?
Black Widow.
Are we talking like power wise or
no? Just like ultimate badassery.
Oh, nah, man. I think I'd go fucking. Here's the thing, and I don't. I again, I've not looked into anything. Mm-hmm. I don't know what people are really saying about this episode. Her the wing thing mm-hmm. kind of reminded me of like Falcon.
Okay.
So like I have a feeling people are gonna like make those comparisons at some point. Mm-hmm. But then like the fighting style was so fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
And no, she's badass. Like she's so cool when she like she was cool before that.
Okay, so real fast, power rank, Black Widow, Wanda.
WandaVision.
Scarlet Scarab. Her name's Wanda.
And Wasp.
Wasp.
Who Wasp else? Is a dead last.
The
Pepper Potts is Iron Man.
Yeah, Pepper Potts.
Never mind, she's dead last.
Bro, come on.
No, it's definitely like Black Widow, Scarlet Scarab.
The Black Panther chicks.
Oh, the Okoye or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okoye.
I feel like I'm hitting them.
No, I think Scarlet Scarab has to be like a second to Black Widow.
Yeah, I think it's definitely Black Widow than a Scarlet Scarab. Anyways.
But you like that character.
I fucking love.
Liked what they did with it.
I love that. And I love, like, typically I don't, like, love the, this, like, you know, like the in-game, like, that kind of shit where they're, like, very much thrown in your face.
Which
that,
then, like, the boys have to make fun of.
Yeah, it was just like a bad scene, but like I loved the then thrown in your face of like, are you an Egyptian superhero? And she's like, yes.
Yeah, that was a really really cool moment.
Yeah, that was neat.
And throwing it back, there's that scene where Tarrett starts like not taking over, but like speaking as Layla.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible acting.
Oh, that was really good acting. Yeah,
badass. And that's like that's only something you could really get like in a Moon Knight style like show. Mm-hmm. And so like when they started doing that, you get what I mean, like
yeah, kind
the
of.
Multiple personalities and, mm-hmm. and stuff like that, when she started doing that I was like fuck yes, like that is incredible. I was really
yeah it excited. Looks like a scene like literally out of an acting school or something.
Yeah, I mean did you not like it?
No, I thought it was really good. Oh, okay. It's just like
it's the, very different
the level of acting. The level of like skill of acting needed to like do that is like really
pretty really crazy.
It seems like a drill that you would do at like Juilliard.
Yeah,
that they would like put you through to try and like force you to switch characters
like on a dime basically. Yeah. Like do it this way. Yeah, like which we're gonna watch this later, but like in Barry they kind of like say like now do it sad, now do it happy.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Like switch.
I was about
switch,
to say switch. Like it's kind of like a show we're about to watch, Barry, with what's his fucking name, what's
Bill Hader.
No. Who's the...
Oh, Henry Winkler.
Didn't he get murked last season?
No, he's still alive.
Okay.
His
son got murked? Everyone gets murked in this fucking show.
The cop got murked.
That's right. She had it coming.
Yeah. She liked Winkler.
A very nice cop at Albertsons asked me to review a grill for him.
What?
I don't know. I was walking through Albertsons and this cop was like, hold on. He like brings you like, hey, you look like a man who can cook.
Oh, wait. He asked you over to, like, get your opinion on a specific grill in front of you.
In Albertsons.
Okay.
Yes.
I thought he asked you to, like, go online and be like, I built this grill and I was selling it in Albertsons.
Oh, it was like this...
I was so fucking confused.
You know how, like, some bad grocery stores would have, like, a hired security guard? He was, like, just fucking bored as shit, I guess. Like, looking at their grills. And he stops me. He's like, hey, man, how many racks of ribs do you think you could get on this? And I looked at it and I was like... Very confidently said, like, oh, 1.5. Yeah, for sure, 1.5. But, I mean, if you had a rib rack, you could probably get 3. And then he was like, then we're off to the races. On
how much time did you spend with this security guard?
About 7 or 8 minutes.
All right, you did a public good by...
I did. I mean, it was a Dallas police officer who's, like, on his off time.
What kind of grill was it?
It was a little $99 Weber, like...
Like the circular ones?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was like, honestly, like, you're not going to be able to fit much on that. Yeah. Like, you know, you go up...
Your shit's going to taste like fucking...
You go up $200-$300, you know, you can get a nice one. Yeah. But this will last you forever.
Get you a job at Lowe's, you'll be fine. You can peruse that section for
the 50% discount. You get a lot of tips there, bro. Let me tell you.
Oh my god.
It was fun.
So let's kick it back because I skipped something. No, it was a good like intermission.
Uh-huh. Speaking of intermissions.
are we gonna need to?
No, let's carry on.
How much time we got?
I think we'll just do Moon Knight tonight.
Okay, that's then, fine. Yeah, North yeah, fan yeah. later. Okay, so whatever. Yeah, go spin that. no, so back, he's dead. Mark Spector's dead. He's in the middle of the... He made it to the Field of Reeds, but Stephen Grant was left in the Duat, which is like hell, basically. Mm-hmm. And Mark Spector has to make the decision that he's not cool with like leaving Stephen Grant in the Duat. So he gives up the piece that he'd always like been looking for, leaves the Field of Reeds, goes, and basically kind of like resigns himself to dying in the field in the Duat.
Yeah, and, yeah, yeah. He like goes to Mark and like, you know, as soon as you kind of get into that like realm, you the Duat or the souls take you and you turn to stone.
Yeah.
And it was like that was a really touching
scene. That was an amazing scene.
Where he like tells
a statue.
Steven, yeah, he's like, you're the only superpower I need. Like,
yeah.
Basically saying like, you know, in order to be myself, like all I needed was a side of me to protect me.
Yeah, I needed an outlet to like get away from the abuse and harm. And I guess we didn't touch on that, but his like mom abused him. And that's why that's where that DID came from, and that other personality to like have an escape for what was going on.
Yeah, he like literally split his personality to kind of deal with the trauma of being abused by his mother.
Yeah, and so I think that is... There are so many moments of 4, 5, and 6 that are like Emmy nomination like level acting from Isaac.
Yeah.
That it's hard to pinpoint one. I think if any of them...
You think it really is, though?
Yes. Like, I think 5...
Is his acting anywhere near Succession level acting?
Yes. Nomination-wise, yes.
Okay.
Winning-wise, probably not, but nomination... Like, the 5th episode, yes, 100%.
I think it's borderline.
But, like, and that's the thing, where it's... This is bright. This is not.
And it's really subjective.
Yeah, this isn't apples to apples, but this is the comparison I'm going to make. It's like this past Oscars where like Javier Bardem gets in as like the 5th best actor winner or nominee.
Yeah.
And so it's like, what gets those 4th or 5th spots? It's something like a 5th episode like this, where he's revisiting all of his memories, and there are some fucking crazy scenes that I definitely will be going back and watching just those scenes because they are so well acted and they're so poignant and they're just great. They're amazing scenes. It doesn't matter. And it's amazing. That's the amazing thing about Moon Knight is it doesn't feel like an MCU show. None of this feels like an MCU show because you don't have the overt like, oh, we got the fucking, you know, Captain America or Falcon like over there or like some like direct things. You have some things where like Tarot says like ancestral planes or some random character gets an ADR to say, you know, Madripoor. You have little hints like
that. I thought this was like a really good midpoint between your typical Marvel Universe storyline and flavor and feel and like the Eternals, right? We're like in the Eternals, they were trying to keep it very like separate from the Marvel Universe and very kind of like grounded in the mythology of gods and whatnot.
But even
it didn't have really like, I mean, it did a little bit, but it didn't have like the feel of a normal Marvel movie where like you have the lightness and the like comedic aspect of it, right? And like, I mean, there's a lot of problems with the Eternals.
But even Eternals had that one scene where Kumail Nanjiani's character was like, you know, Thor, I played with him when he was a kid. Now he doesn't have the time of day. Like, that's a direct, like, I'm going to call this a MCU top tier name drop type thing.
Well, it's more like, yeah, you're right.
You see what I'm saying? And like, Moon Knight
had... Self-marketing.
Moon Knight had none of that. Like, Moon Knight had, it only had references... From what I remember, is a reference to Madripoor, which was in Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
And the Ancestral Plane, which is from Black Knight, or Black Panther.
Right.
So it's like, those are the only two, and they're such, not, I'm going to call them deep cuts of the MCU, but like, they are deeper cuts than like, straight up just saying like, I knew Thor when he was a kid.
Yeah.
You said, so.
And like, what was the first one?
Madripoor.
No, the other one then.
Ancestral Plane, from Black Panther.
Madripoor. I mean, like, those could even be... I mean, it's kind of a tie-in, but, like, the ancestral plane could be, like, this, like, you know, their mythology that, like, is... Because Egypt's mythology would be so ancient that, like, part of Black Panther's mythology could be, like, a branch of it. You know, you could, like, connect through story.
Yeah.
You know, how that... And, it, yeah, you're right. It's not, like, as direct as being, like, oh, yeah...
But that's,
you know, we knew Thor, and there's Captain America's shield on the fucking wall of the plane.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Shit. I couldn't, like, really pinpoint if that's what I was remembering, but yeah, like, they had it in the plane. And so it's like, but getting back to, like, what we were talking about, the Emmy thing, it feels like something that could be nominated just because it's something.
I mean, for the, like, I don't know if they do this in Emmys, but just for, like, the special effects and CGI.
Yeah.
Like, having... two fucking, like,
50-foot
pyramid-sized gods. And let's be real, okay? One pyramid-sized sexy crocodile and one pyramid-sized...
You're really weirding me out with how turned on you were by this crocodile.
I wasn't turned on by it! I'm just saying...
Crocodile or alligator?
Later gator. I don't fucking know. And
one of those.
One, you know...
We'll get the DID references correct, but we will not understand.
Yeah, I don't fuck what species her, she's supposed to be.
Yeah.
One pyramid size, like, dead bird, I guess, fighting each other in...
Crocodile.
In front of the
pyramid. Of Giza.
Yeah, that's, like, that's incredible.
Yeah, nah. It, and
dude, plus, all the CGI suits. And special effects to switch in between the suits.
Like, I loved how they did mid-fight. That shit, dude. Oh, my God. So, they get back to the real world. Amit's out. Khonshu is like, yeah, I'll fucking release you. They have to, like, go stop Hera. There's a big old fucking fight. Here's the one thing I didn't like about this episode.
Okay.
And this is why I am praying to God, because I would love a big theatrical release Moon Knight movie. Fuck that. Give me another 6 episodes. To explain the... moments where they, like, black out and they don't show what the fuck happened.
Well, we know exactly what happened, though.
I know, we'll get to that. But, okay. Like, in the moment while you're watching, what the fuck happened?
Yeah, I mean, I get what you mean.
I wasn't those explanations.
That wasn't my biggest problem with it, since they, like, definitely explained it with the end credit scene.
I'm not usually this way. I want to see it. I want to give a quick... Brian, god damn it. We did take a chili break.
Yeah, we took a home coached chili break. We didn't go to Chili's.
Which I think is a great time.
Oh, you want a quick tangent? Don't ever go to this Chili's.
What the fuck, Ryan?
If you're ever in the Garland and Buckner area of Dallas,
do not... Let's really just, like, put on the map where...
This is a very broad area.
All right,
okay?
What happened to Chili's? I was going to give a nice soliloquy about your dog, but...
It's like, I don't know. It was awful. But what can you say about the Chili's?
Yes.
I agree.
Special correspondent on Chili's topics.
Marina, what
about the...
I echo your sentiments.
Okay, thank you.
All right, that was the most lawyer way of saying, fuck that Chili's.
Put that mic on my fucking face.
Yeah. No, this is a good time to do an ode to Max.
Okay.
2 years.
Yeah, 2 years of the podcast.
With... our Max Jindo head rating
plus
mascot.
You know, we actually haven't done a podcast since his birthday.
Yeah!
Max is now 14 years old.
One more year, dude.
One more year.
You gotta hold out one more year.
And we're making him a quinceanera.
That's what your mom was gonna help sew.
That? Oh my god!
What?
Yeah! Fucking light bulb moment. She was gonna sew a little dress for him.
Oh, a quinceanera dress?
Quinceanera dress. Yes.
Well, we were going to get a professional one done, but yeah.
No. She needs to do a quinceañera dress for the male dog.
As long as I can.
Hell yeah, dude.
Can have some design input on my...
He licked my knee. He's down for it.
Oh, he's totally down for it. He's going to have a blast, bro.
Yeah. What is going to take place in 1 year's time, around the time that we have our 3rd year anniversary of Furlough
Film
Talks?
Yeah, so his birthday is actually April 3rd. So, he's turning 15, and we're going to throw Max the Jindo, the Korean Jindo, a quinceanera. Yes.
Okay.
Typically reserved for, female teenagers
Hispanic.
of Hispanic descent, but, yep. you know, No, we're switching it up. When in Rome, we're gonna do it right though. He's gonna have a quinceanera dress. We're gonna get a mariachi band. We're probably gonna cater some blue paste tortillas. You know,
right. Full is his blown. Cousin invited?
No.
Wow. I see if how it is.
If you can get his cousin,
yeah,
trained to not be a dickhead, and he can wear, and if you put him in a mariachi suit.
Deal. If the deal is he has to wear a mariachi suit, sombrero or sand sombrero?
No, full on black sombrero.
Sombrero. All right, yeah. Black. Why does it have to be black?
Because this is what I imagine a all mariachi right. suit.
Tell me your fantasy for my yeah. dog wearing a mariachi
so
costume.
Black pants with like little a striped design with the little furry balls on it, and then a black jacket, black vest, red tie. And sombrero. And if you want to strap a ukulele to his back.
There we go. I was literally about to say ukulele on the back.
Yeah. For I mean, sure. You got the outfit.
All right. I'm totally doing this now. All right.
Aspen wants to be part of yeah. the mariachi band, she totally can be.
Aspen will have to dress up as like a ICE agent. Because okay. she's white.
Wait, how old is her dog?
Five.
Five? Oh, okay. I mean,
Aspen's white, so I was inevitably thinking, that would be the ICE agent.
We could do a combo, like, you know, quinceanera bar mitzvah. Yep.
What?
I don't know, man. Oh, right. How old's Yoshi?
Yoshi, I think it's May 9th, turns one.
He turns one this one. Year?
Yes.
Actually, that'd be about the age in dog years to have a bar mitzvah. Next
year.
Next April.
Yeah. Okay.
We could do it. We could throw.
So, what I'm hearing is Yoshi needs to be able to recite the entire Torah in a calendar year.
Yes, and ready to get circumcised.
Yeah. Oh, cut off the red rocket is what I'm hearing.
You don't cut the. What?
Shut the fuck up. I was saying that was his foreskin. It wasn't like we're cutting his dick off.
Well, that's what it sounded
Should
like.
Should I have clarified what we're going to do to my dog for his bar mitzvah?
Of all the things in 2 years of our podcast, that was the most culturally insensitive thing you've ever said.
Is it bat mitzvahs for the boys?
Bro, I've been to yeah. many of them.
Bat
I have
mitzvahs,
no idea.
Girls? Bar mitzvahs.
Bar mitzvahs.
So bar mitzvah.
Bar mitzvah for you. Well, yeah. He doesn't have any nuts, so...
true.
I mean, that's kind of why we're getting away with throwing the quinceanera for...
Mm. Oh, is that how?
I don't know.
You eunuched your dog?
I didn't do it to him.
You... Oh, yeah. It was done beforehand.
Yeah, I
purchased... I eunuched my dog.
You did. Yeah, yeah. You're fully culpable for the...
I would have loved to have seen Mark Spector's bar mitzvah.
Oh, I doubt he got one.
Yeah, I guess his mom was probably like... Not down for that.
Yeah,
his dad was a rabbi though. Like,
was he? Well, in
his dad in the comics is a rabbi.
Oh, okay.
So I'm assuming in this iteration,
Oscar Isaac truly can play any goddamn character.
Literally,
he
not well sometimes, but
yeah. I mean, he. Never mind.
No, go for it. Come on. I want to see where I want to go see where this story was going.
He could wear blackface and play a Nigerian.
Ryan. All right, well, yeah, so...
Not that he should.
No, he definitely
should.
Just he
shouldn't. Has the acting props to pull it off.
His
that's
name,
all I was saying.
He's not Jimmy Fallon. I don't think he can get away with that one.
Or Justin Trudeau.
Trudeau did do that, yeah.
Twice or three times.
Did Kavanaugh do that?
No.
I think he did.
I'll look
it up. Producer sides. We'll have a random crocodile. If you hear a crocodile earlier in the episode, that was Alexis letting us know that Amit was a crocodile.
You meant like the sound of a crocodile.
No. She literally just yelled out, "Crocodile!" And like neither of us registered. She meant...
No, I did. I totally did.
I didn't. I...
Well...
Yes, Kavanaugh did blackface.
Boom.
Who didn't do blackface in the 80s?
Atticus.
Do you want to... We don't know this for sure, bro. We do not
know. Oh, no.
It's fine. We're fine. I was about to call our father.
Live on air.
I
don't think your computer is waterproof, bro. Like,
we'll see. I'm calling Atticus as she chugs my beer.
You're really doing this?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, sweetie.
Watch him be like out of dinner.
Did
his phone's off. Telephone number,
on your phone, and I'll be back to you as soon as possible. Thank you.
live on air of us calling our father to see. We're leaving a voicemail at this point.
Love you, Dad.
Did it already ring?
Or I don't know.
Ding? Atticus, I'm calling to see if you ever did blackface. If you could ever give me a call. Specifically in the 80s, did you ever do blackface? I'm trying to prove a point with Ryan.
We're hoping the answer is no. But
this is your first time ever being on. So yeah, just let us know. You'll be on the podcast later for Top Gun Maverick. Love you. Anywho.
Anyways, let's get back to the main.
Moon Knight, blackface, and finding out if our dad was a racist.
That would surprise me if he did the reverse Atticus.
I mean, Atticus did become a kind of...
That's what I'm saying. Like, went from good to... I guess, yeah, because real Atticus went from good to bad. If our Atticus went from blackface in the 80s to good...
To the man we know as today, selling pumps and...
Atticus...
Fire valves.
Atticus did not paint his face black.
No, I highly doubt it. I think he would have gotten kicked out of his frat sooner than he did.
Didn't get kicked out.
He did not get kicked out. Yeah. He just was not a legacy member or whatever the fuck it's called. Anywho, back to Moon Knight. This is the most furloughed Film Talks episode of Furloughed Film Talks. I'm gonna get a text message from him and be like, "Did you mean to call?" Listen to the voicemail, man. Wrapping it up a little bit of the episode recap, we've done kind of our review of it throughout.
Yeah.
They had, the big fight. They kind of fuck up Harrow. They then entrap. It's entrapment, putting a bar next to a child's playground. They entrap Amit back into Harrow. It's a horrible boss's line.
Mm-hmm. Is it?
Yeah.
It's a deep cut, buddy.
Yeah. But... Amit is now in Harrow's body. They are now free. It then cut. This is where it gets weird.
Mark and Steven are free.
Yeah. This is where we need to like kind of dive into it.
Mm-hmm.
It cuts back to the like psych ward where Mark/Steven is in the office with Harrow.
Mm-hmm.
But like Harrow is bleeding from his feet, which I guess is supposed to imply that like some of reality is bleeding into this like psychosis almost.
Okay.
You have different thoughts on this.
I don't think it's psychosis. I think this is like a pure like manifestation in Mark's mind. Like,
okay.
Everything that was happening like in Mark's mind was just like, or like in that like doctor's office and in the hospital itself.
Mm-hmm.
That was a manifestation of like Mark's mind, and then like. Everything was happening like on the boat and in the underworld and all that.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
That was actually happening.
Yeah, because he was dead.
Yeah, but everything else was like, and I guess like the beginning when he like gets shot and first he's in the hospital and then like he runs. They
take him into like Harrow's office.
No. Yeah, they take him in, but they like then he escapes and runs and he runs into Tarret. I'm thinking that was like. His consciousness was slipping away from like his physical body.
I see what you mean.
And it was like this like transition to the underworld.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think like I think everything in the hospital and everything like interacting with Dr. Harrow was just like basically his imagination.
Okay. Interesting. No, I agree. And it's one of those things where I don't want to get sappy or anything or weird. I enjoy these kind of talks and just being able to like talk it out because there's things that like I think you see or just like other people see that when I'm watching it doesn't make as much sense, and so like being able to dive into it makes clears things up.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have him like waking up in his bed, which is supposed to be reality.
Yep.
And you have now where you started out at the beginning of the show, Steven didn't realize that there was Mark. Mark obviously knew that there was Steven, but he was trapped inside. And now you have them switching off and on, like almost talking to themselves.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't believe you live in this mess. And it's a really kind of neat way of ending the entire show where they've come to terms with who they are and who Mark really is and where his life is.
Yeah, it's kind of a fun dynamic. I think like if they do a season two, it'll be kind of like the Venom and Eddie Brock dynamic where, like, they're kind of the same body and they're, like, conversing with each other throughout the movie, right? That's kind of cool. But then we get
a post-credit scene.
Yeah, post-credit scene.
It's a little where they finally did it. They not only did a Moon Knight limousine, which is also from the comics.
Okay.
They have somebody coming to pick up Arthur Harrow, who is also in a psychiatrist or psychiatric ward.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it's like, oh.
A real one.
Yes, that's
very much a real one.
That staffer's dead. Oh, that staffer's dead.
As he's being reeled out by
some guy speaking Spanish, and he gets put into a limo, and there's Khonshu in his own suit, and he's
badass suit,
just fucking chilling, and he kind of explains, like, oh, Mark doesn't realize, like, how fractured his mind is, and he, like, knocks on the window, and he's like, meet Jake Lockley, and he, like, rolls it down, he's all creepy and shit, and just shoots freaking Harrow.
Yep.
Two to the face, two to the chest.
Mm-hmm.
POD style.
Yeah, and, like, you know, none of the senior citizens being rolled into the hospital notice this, like, bang bang going down.
Yeah, they, the like, just don't fucking, like, hear the fact that this guy just got shot.
Yeah. Well, it has silencer on, so.
Is that what we're going with? The silencer is what
Disney magic, Alex.
Kept everybody from hearing this.
Yeah, so, which is, like, really interesting way to, like, finish the episode, because now, so what happened, right? Like, sure, Khonshu freed Steven and Mark, but still has Jake under his control.
Yes.
Right, which pretty much, he didn't really technically let Mark and Steven go. He let them think that he let them go, but really, like, he's got control over them because he can manifest Jake at any time he wants.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting. Like, now, like, what the fuck's going on, right? Like, is who's in full control? Is Jake just kind of, like, taking over whenever Khonshu wants him? And then, like, Steven and, like, you would think Steven and Mark, like, after it happened in that fight scene where it was clearly Jake Lockley who came in, like, kicked ass. And then, but, like, Mark and Steven, like, didn't really question what the fuck happened. They're just like,
that's happened multiple times.
Like, yeah, but, like, whenever they had blacked out, they kind of had, like, come to the conclusion eventually that, like, oh, okay, it was Steven that was taking control, or Mark, or whatever. And at this point, you would think, like, they would say, huh, this is fucking weird. Like,
well, no,
I blacked out, and I didn't know, like, who was, like, controlling my body at that point.
Well, you remember the scene in, I think it was episode 3, where they were fighting those three dudes, and he blacks out, and he's literally, like, he stabbed the one guy through the
chest. Yeah, because Steven didn't know Mark existed. But
No, they did. It was in Egypt. It was the third episode. They knew that Mark and Steven, like, existed. They were talking to each other, and there's a scene where he, like, stabs somebody, or, like, he blacks out. He stabs the guy, and then, like, he comes to, and Mark is like, Steven, was that you? And he was like, no. He's like, that wasn't you? He's like, no. And then it's immediately, they see that one kid who, like, he's like, Hail Ahmed or whatever, and, like, slices his...
And
falls off the cliff. That's another moment where they're immediately just, like, they kind of, not ignore it, but they don't question it, because it's supposed to be... They aren't supposed to really think about it. They're not supposed to really know about it. So it's like this diversion. So that happened a couple different times where, and
it's kind of weird though that they're not questioning it, right?
No, it is for sure. But, like, I think it's kind of explained by Khonshu doesn't want them to know. And so I think they're leading up to the point kind of like in the comics where Khonshu is the big bad who's been kind of controlling his life and has been, like, really manipulative. And, like, they even said in the 5th episode, like, dude, he's been manipulating you since, like, the beginning. I think that's where this is building up. Like, I think this is going to that point where it's going to be that scene where it's like,
This is, like, kind of shitty because, like, if Khonshu isn't, like, quote-unquote an ally of Mark and Steven and Jake, then they don't have their powers, right?
But that's the thing, like, and that's what I was kind of getting to, is they have that scene or that panel in the comics where it's like, I am Mark Spector, I am, you know, Stephen Grant, I am Jake Lockley. It's like, we're gonna be fine, we're gonna, like, make it through this, we don't need you. And he shatters, like, Khonshu's skull.
Yeah.
He still has his powers. Like, I think something like that is going to happen where, and I don't know how they get around it narratively in the show, because in the show they show that he loses his powers when Khonshu gets put in the statue. So I don't know how they would do that narratively in this show if they were to, like, straight up just, like, crush his fucking skull.
Yeah.
But I think there might be something along the lines of that where they put all three of them in a season two kind of band together. Because you've already seen the two of them band together. Like, it's inevitable that all three band together to basically be like, you don't control us three. We're the ones in power, and we set the guidelines. We don't need you. We'll take it from here. You do what we say, kind of thing. I think that's where it's going to kind of all go.
We'll see. I hope, if they do a season two, I really hope they do something not as grand as, like, you know, Mark Spector and Khonshu having to save the entire fucking world from Harrow. I would really like to see, like, a much smaller scale environment for Moon Knight.
Yeah.
Like, it would be really cool for, like, to see a whole season of Moon Knight being, like, the Batman of London, right?
Yeah, and I think they will do something along the lines of that. Because, like, what they're doing right now in the comics is kind of like what you're saying. Because he, like, has this guy that he used to work with who didn't realize was, like, this fucking crazy motherfucker. Who he has to, like, track down now. And he literally turned, like, a whole, like, ancient haunted building into his, like, headquarters. By basically being like, I can blow you up right now, or you can serve my needs and, like, feast on really evil people. And this evil, like, haunted building was like, fuck yeah, all right. And, like, becomes his headquarters and becomes, like, the Midnight Mission. It's an insane, like, comic book run right now.
It's Moon Knight's, like, mansion?
Mission. It's a Midnight Mission. It's super cool, dude. Okay. So, I think they'll do something along the lines of that. But no, like, what were your... I'm not trying to sound mean here.
Okay.
For somebody who, like, you've heard me...
Who is oblivious to the comics, is this where you're going?
Well, no, no. You've heard me grouse and talk and, like, give you a lot of information on, like, what Moon Knight is. But, like, yeah, like, didn't really know anything about it before 2016, like me. Didn't really read the comics before 2016. Any of that shit. What'd you think of this show overall?
I thought it was fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool.
Was there any weak points story-wise or acting-wise to you?
Not acting-wise. I thought it was maybe a bit of a mistake to, like, completely take the action out of it and the superhero capabilities away from your main character for, like, two full episodes, right? Because, like, I mean, those two episodes are still really good and still really interesting, especially, like, episode 5 because they, you know, kept, like, the entire episode within kind of this imaginative state and in the underworld on, like, the boat going through Osiris's lands and trying to, like, balance the scales and whatever. But I thought, like, that kind of was, like, a minor thing. Like, I would have liked to see just a ton more...
badassery.
Kind of, yeah, action and, like, fighting scenes. But, like, you know, the stuff they did at the very last episode, like, the fucking fighting scenes in there were amazing. So I thought, like, yeah, I mean, if we're going to do a Gendomax head rating for the entire, like,
season,
I would definitely give it 4.5.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I'd go...
Out of 4.5 out of 5 Gendomax head.
Gendomax head. Where is Max, by the way? Oh, he's slumming over there. Yeah. I think I would give this a 4.75.
Okay.
This met almost every expectation I had for what a Moon Knight show could be. And this is the first time that, like, it's been a comic book property where, like, I was at, like, very minimally, like, what's the right word? I'd read the comics. Like, I'd really kind of gotten into it.
You're, like, much more invested in this than any other
series. And that feels kind of, like, fake a little bit because I picked it up in, like, 2016.
Okay.
But, like, when I did pick it up, it was because the character was so different from any other character that I had really ever heard of before. And the comparisons to Batman, to me, didn't really make a whole lot of sense. Because, like, and it was... Mostly comparisons came from, like, the 80s version of this character, but I think it's evolved so much to this point, to that point in 2016. Because in, like, 2011 is when they really started to go with, like, the split personality thing. So when it started to come up in 2016, I was like, okay, I'm really intrigued by this character. Like, this character sounds fucking insane. Like, And that was when people were talking about, like, it needs an MCU movie. And I was like, that'd be so sick. And that's when I really kind of latched onto it. So when this got announced, like, 2 years ago, I lost my shit. Like, this so pumped. Or 3 years ago. So to see this come to fruition has been an amazing ride. Mm-hmm. And to see the end of this show, and for them to introduce that Jake Lockley character in that way, was amazing. Like, there's so little I could, like, complain about this show that I just fucking loved everything about this.
It was awesome. Yeah. What do you... 0 to 100%, what do you think the chances are we see Moon Knight tomorrow night?
In Doctor Strange?
Yeah.
15%.
Okay.
I'd be shocked.
Yeah, I'd be surprised too, but it'd be badass. Like, I really, really hope they start including him in the...
like, main MCU?
Yeah.
No, I would... I'd drop my pants and shit in the middle of the theater if they did that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool, welcome. Bro.
Yeah. No, I'd go crazy. That'd be insane. But I don't think they'll do that. But if you had asked me before we saw Eternals, mm-hmm. that there'd be a technical Blade-like cameo in the post-credit scenes, I'd have been like, bullshit. Like, there's no way.
It makes more sense in a post-credit scene than, like...
Could I see Moon Knight in a post-credit scene? Yeah.
Yeah. You know what would be fucking badass? Like, Kevin Feige call us, but, like, could you imagine Young Avengers versus Moon Knight?
Don't get me aroused like that, Ryan.
Right?
I'll lose it. Like, no, I oh my god. He has to say Conchi, you big fucking nerd, at some point.
Or yeah, like, and they really need to make a rated R version so you can shoot ketamine.
Yeah. Do you shoot ketamine? How do you take ketamine? I have no idea. Yeah. It's not, by the way, it's not ketamine.
Ketamine. Yeah, you take it intramuscularly.
So, like, Batman.
Yeah.
Oh, bro. Could you imagine just fucking Moon Knight running around fighting crime hooked up to an IV of ketamine?
No.
Then, like, pulling the, like,
he's got, rod. He's got, like, a little, like, satchel with the bag of ketamine.
No, it's a bag boy. It's just a bag boy, boy of ketamine.
Some dude dose on ketamine.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what, you cannot fight on ketamine. You're not.
Moon Knight could.
No.
Moon Knight could.
No.
There's literally in, like, one of the comics from a couple months ago, uh-huh. where it's like a crazy dude, and he's like, yeah, try to, because, like, the guy, like, basically takes over your mind, like, to control you. He's like, yeah, try it. Dude tries to take over his mind. That guy goes fucking crazy. It was great. Like, it was like, he was like, because he's, like, literally taking over, like, 50 people's bodies. Mm-hmm. And he's like, try it, bitch. And, like, he does. And he's like, ah! And he's like, yeah, like, you're a fucking idiot for trying that. So, like, yeah, I could totally see.
I really need to start reading the comic books.
They're great. There's another one coming out May 25th, I believe. Yeah, May 25th.
Okay. So. DC Comics. Call us. Give us a sponsorship.
DC Comics?
Yeah, DC Detective Comics.
That's Marvel Comics.
Never mind.
Jesus, Ryan.
Never mind. We're good. We're okay.
All right. Ryan, that's another...
All is well.
Well, we have to introduce a interview first.
Oh, yeah,
this is
yeah.
the favorite part of our entire show. Introducing...
fucking rapping. Yeah.
Yeah, rapping literally 5 seconds later.
There you go.
Anyways, here is... He's in a new movie called Beyond the Field. This guy was also in Sons of Anarchy.
This guy.
This dude. Mm-hmm. This man with a shaved head. He lives down in Austin. He heard me say y'all, and he was immediately just like, you'll hear it in a couple seconds. But this is Theo Rossi. All right, so I am here now with Theo Rossi. He has his new movie, Escape the Field, coming out on May 6th. How are you, man? I know we just caught up a little bit. You're from Texas. We got that going.
Yeah, I'm loving it. It's been raining. We've been getting some good rain, so the ponds are filling up in the back. Yeah, you know, it's amazing. I one of my favorite lines about Texas that I learned when I moved here, and again, my wife being a lifelong Texan, was if you don't like the weather, wait 10 minutes. It just changes every 10 minutes.
It's crazy. There, it was a couple months ago. It was like 80 degrees one day here in Dallas, and then all of a sudden it was like 20. It like just dropped.
Fascinating. It's fascinating. So I'm enjoying that part and every single other aspect that comes with it. It's a really good place, especially for the kids and stuff.
Yeah. Well, so you had Escape the Field, which is coming out May 6th. That was filmed up in Toronto, and it started, I think, or was it Toronto?
Hamilton. Yeah, I guess. Sure. Okay. Right outside of Toronto, like 10 minutes out.
Yeah. So that started early part of the pandemic. What was
right
it?
Away.
Yeah. What was it like, you know, being up in Canada with their rules and you know, filming something during the pandemic?
It was wild. I got to tell you, we were living in Texas. Obviously we were in Texas and we were kind of in this situation where we were in like a rental house and we were, you know, building where we were living now, and the pandemic hit. And like, again, just like the rest of the entire world, I was like, what's going on? Like what's happening? We were all, you know, again, we can all relive it a million times, but it was like, it was so like confusing in a way of like, we didn't know, right? When nobody knew what was happening. And especially because most of my family is in New York and we're kind of devastated by it. So we were like, so then when I started thinking about work, mm-hmm. and how I feed my family and all that, I was like, I don't think this business is ever going to come back. Like that was my original thought process, was like, because logistically I was like, how does it come back? How does it work? How do you make this work? And a couple months into it, Emerson, who the director, who's a really good friend of mine, you know, we had done a project before, was like, we're going to do this film. It's going to be super contained. It's going to be in one location. It's going to be outdoors. The yeah. whole film is going to be outdoors. We're going to be in zones. We're going to get to this hotel in Hamilton and we're going to be fully quarantined. And basically we're going to be there weeks before. We're going to be testing 5 days a week. And it was like, it was as much of my curiosity of wanting to do this. It was also like, this is going to kind of tell me if like, this is going to work.
Yeah.
If we're going to be able to build upon this. And especially it being a much smaller film that didn't have the luxury of an unlimited budget. There was like no money. And especially that at that time, the Canadian rules were extremely strict and stuff like that. And we did it. And to be honest, you know, I think it really facilitated the film. There was so much that was going on personally and behind the scenes that I think helped a film like this.
Yeah.
I looked at it like an experiment. I still do when people talk about it. I'm like, yeah, that was kind of like my first go at like, if this is going to happen again.
This is going to work. Well, that's, yeah. You were up in Toronto and now you live in Texas and
obviously,
like you said something really interesting that I just thought about. It's like, we don't want to revisit or like go over it a million different times of what happened. Cause I think everybody does that, but you have a really interesting perspective of how crazy or not crazy, but how strict they were in Canada versus what it's been like here in Texas. What's that kind of been like?
Yeah. And then, I mean, and also you're talking about like, you know, I have all my family's in New York, so yeah. they were under different things. I, you know, at the time too, right around the field, I was also going to LA to do work and like, you know, going in and out. I've seen it all. I mean, I've kind of been a part of all of them. I can't say which is right or wrong because I'm not a doctor and I don't know. I'm like water. Whatever you tell me, I'm just going to go with the flow. So it's like whatever needs to be done. I don't really have opinions on any of it. What do I know? I don't know. I live a really outdoor life here on the ranch, so I'm outside all the time. I don't know. I just know that it's wildly different everywhere I go. You know what I mean? And Canada at that time was wildly different than New York, and New York was wildly different than LA, and LA was wildly different than Texas. They were all wildly different. And I think that I'm fortunate that I got to experience all of them because it gave me kind of my like well-rounded look of like everything that was happening because nothing was similar. They were all very different.
Yeah. And I think that's the interesting thing that, you know, I love talking to people like that who have had those experiences where it's like, I've only really ever seen Texas and like what we've done. And it's like, I can see on TV, like, oh,
it looks
like
totally different when you're there.
Yeah. Canada's got way locked down. So it's like, you had a way different perspective of, you know, us here in Texas, but that's
really way different. Like I didn't even, you know, when we were there, like I was actually kind of fearful even going out for walks because ultimately you'd be checked in on and stuff.
Yeah.
So it was just different. And again, and also remember, as someone who's the lead in a film, it's my responsibility to make sure that the film never gets shut down.
Yeah.
So I have to take that responsibility on to be as safe and protective as possible from something that I had no clue of, you know, again, I'm the furthest thing from a doctor. So it's like, I was just, all I was concerned about was keeping everybody's job. Yeah. So I don't want to be the one who messes anything up. So, and again, I'm an isolationist by nature. So I was like, I just got to stay in a hotel all the time. Great. You know? Yeah.
So, I mean, the movie, you guys are, you know, kind of forced into this situation where you don't really know what's going on. You have these different objects that are, you know, supposed to help you get out. And there's this force that is kind of preying upon you, you know, being that lead and kind of putting yourself into that headspace. You talked about, you know, Emerson, the director, is a friend of yours. What kind of drew you into that role? And what was it like kind of, you know, kind of tackling a script like that?
Yeah, a couple of things drew me in. I mean, first and foremost, it was, like I said earlier, it was the experiment of going back to filming. I wasn't sure, you know, it was the nature of the film. I had never done a film that all took place in one location. You know, I've done films that had like two or three. I've never done it where it's like, we're just shooting in a cornfield. And I was like, oh, okay, that's it. And so that was really interesting to me because I think it makes the acting amplified, where it's like, you really are going to live and die on the words that are being said because there's not a lot else that's happening. I also love things that are bait and switch kind of a way of like, you know, it's something that I always try to do with my characters is trick people, like where it's like, is it him?
Yeah.
Is it not?
What's happening with this guy?
Right. Is he always looks like he's a bad guy a lot, but now he's not, or he is, or he's a good guy, but he kind of looks like he should be a bad guy. So I love characters that kind of are ambiguous in all ways of like to the viewer. So that was another thing that drew me because Tyler was like, everyone you're watching this going. So, you know, you can form your own opinion, but you might be wrong. And I love films like that. And again, Emerson, you know, we're about to do another film together. I'm a giant fan of his. I'm a giant fan of how he is as a person and an artist. And he's one of those guys like, you know, fortunately, a lot of the jobs that I've been doing recently where they're people who I'm very close with and ultimately whatever they do, I'll do. You know, if they call me up and go, we want you here for one day, I'm like, all right.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is kind of a side question or something like that. But, you know, you've done Sons of Anarchy, which a lot of people know you from. Mm-hmm. But you also were in that Luke Cage show, one of my favorite shows on Netflix.
Yeah.
They're obviously doing the Disney Plus stuff. Have you ever thought about going back or have they, what would you say to doing another Luke Cage within Netflix?
Shades is one of my favorite characters I've ever played. I have a lot of opinions on, not opinions. I have a lot of thoughts because I try not to have opinions. I have a lot of thoughts on how that would be done. Like I watch Disney Plus, I have 4 and 6 year old kids. I can't believe when I see it on that streamer, I'm like, man, people, that's super violent. Like, I'm like, you know, cause it's hyper violent. And, you know, even, you know, Johnny Bernthal's rendition of the Punisher and like Charlie's Daredevil, like these are different shows than the current MCU. Mm-hmm. So they're more in line of like really what DC's doing maybe in a way where that, you know, Moon Knight is the touch of what kind of is going on in that way of like that grittiness of whatever. So I know that they brought Kingpin back and I know Charlie was back in the Spider-Man thing as Daredevil, not to ruin it for anyone, but
spoilers.
Yeah. Spoilers around. I mean, it's the biggest movie ever. So I think that most people have seen it. Here's what's crazy. We were about to do the third season before everything went down. So I already knew the arc of Shades. I knew what was going to happen to him. Obviously, that doesn't matter now. And that would never occur because it's all different people involved. So a really long answer to your question. Yeah, I have a lot of unresolved stuff. Like Juice, I was able to close the story on in Sons of Anarchy. Shades, I was not. I was waiting
to do more,
to resolve the story, which was going to happen at the end of season 3. So I'm looking forward to always get, I don't like when my characters just kind of float in the wind.
Yeah.
I want them to basically die.
I want an ending of some sort.
I want them to end. I want them to leave this earth. Ultimately.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, I really appreciate your time. Escape the Field comes out May 6th.
Yep.
I hope that Luke Cage comes back and that they bring you back as well. Cause hey, they have freaking shows on Disney Plus now. They should absolutely do more to Luke Cage.
That'd be awesome.
Theo, man, I really appreciate your time and
I really appreciate you and enjoy Texas.
Yeah, you too, sir.
All right, take it easy.
And that was Theo Rossi. Wow. He
took 10 minutes out of his day to talk with us. Super, super cool dude. I'm not even going to look at her because she's laughing. But yeah, thank you for Leo. I almost said Leo. Thank you, Theo, for coming on to the show and talking with us about his new movie, Beyond the Field. Check it out May 6th, which is, this is perfect. Comes out tomorrow. You can check it out in some theater.
I thought today was Secret of Maya, like all day for some reason.
You didn't wear a sombrero to work or something? Or
was, no. Was, bro, Cinco I was, Drinko. Remind me to tell you a story about work after this, though.
All right, perfect. did it have something to do with Karen?
Karen? I fired Karen.
Oh, Karen got fired.
Yeah.
Is she the one that like
almost... I fired way too many people on my like 1 year tenure as...
Is that the person who almost tried to kill you? You almost had to like call security on.
No.
Okay.
That was someone else.
Okay. But anyways, everybody, thank you for listening to our 2 year anniversary show of the Furloughed Film Talks podcast. Ryan, anything else to say?
No, I don't think so. I've been a wonderful 2 years with you.
Yeah, I've been a wonderful 28 years with you, Ryan. But everybody, have a good rest of your week. We will be talking about Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness very soon. Enjoy that movie this weekend, and we will talk with you next week.
Adios, amigos.